Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for this Ask Me Anything night. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Bernard was already asking something on Discord. He said, "Hey, Jeff, I was talking to an e-friend that I was thinking of having a titanium implant in my wrist removed, and he told me once at his work, a surgeon had gotten very personal and told him that he was working with a group that tried to unmask the toxicity of titanium implants. Very anecdotal, of course. Do you have any opinions on this?" No, I don't have an opinion, but I've read stuff about... It seems to be a relatively rare occurrence, but sometimes titanium is associated with toxicity in the medical and dental domain. So it's possible. It's possible. Of course, you don't take a decision like getting a titanium implant lightly. Normally, it's because you need something. And they say that there are alternatives, that there is zirconia implants, but they don't have long-term clinical data on this. So it's been reported that there are people suffering from toxicity of titanium, ions being deposited in tissues around the implant, which makes the tissue less healthy. Yellow nail syndrome, apparently something related to nails. So there is a history of titanium being associated with some issues, but mostly in individual cases, and there's not much overall large studies on this because it's all individual stories. And Stephen Robinson was saying, "JF, have you made any comments on the resignation of the Japan government?" Not at all, because I didn't know that was happening. Japan's government resigns in its entirety. A special cabinet meeting began at 11:30 local time. It is expected that soon it will become known about the new composition of the Japanese government under the leadership of Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. The desire to renew the composition of the Japanese government was announced last fall. Then Kishida declared that the country's leadership needed to meet face-to-face with public opinion. At the same time, the head of Japan's main opposition force, the Constitutional Democratic Party, stressed that a change in the entire government is needed since the LPD will not change. Well, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what all this means. Is that a minority government? Is that why they can resign without an election? I have no clue. Be Yourself says, "Perhaps a James Webb telescope update. I haven't gotten news since the release of the big pictures that I've shared on the show. I haven't seen anything new coming out." Cosmic Nut says, "Is there a specific organ for the titanium?" I think I've heard, well, here are Bernard was saying on the Discord it was for his wrist. I've heard people have replacements of hips parts, I believe, the vertebral column. And I've seen this article which was mentioning dental implants in titanium. So I think it's a pretty multi-purpose metal that can be used in many different types of surgery. Cards Against Humanity is going after the Republican states. These people, I mean, Cards Against Humanity is kind of a interesting game when you compare it with other things. You know, it's kind of edgy as a game. It gets the liberal mind to work on some possibilities of edgy stuff that they could say in front of friends that they would otherwise not say. But Cards Against Humanity sends a message to the Republican states. Your state sucks. Dear customers living in Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, blah, blah, blah. They list all of the Republican states. Today we are releasing some new packs, but while the packs were being printed, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, and your state immediately turned itself into a dystopian forced birth hellscape. So we're donating 100% of profits from orders to your nightmare state to the National Network of Abortion Funds, plus 100,000 right now to help the people most fucked over by the Republicans and your state government. We don't need your money. We also wanted to know what on earth the people in your state were thinking, so we asked them a few questions. You will unfortunately believe what we found. For the love of God, don't forget to vote. Cards Against Humanity. I hope that they do get woke and go broke. I think it's a ridiculous way of making a moral display. I understand that it's probably not their big base of business, a Republican state. Probably the average farmer in America does not even know about Cards Against Humanity. So I don't think there's much loss here. And I just hope that these companies pay the price, that they become niche content developers for the liberal states that they like so much. It's like, can't you have some tolerance for a bunch of people who want to live differently than you? After all, you are imposing stuff in your dystopian hellholes. And so to say that because the Republicans are imposing stuff on their states, it makes them a dystopian hellhole. Well, look at yourself with your COVID rules. The individual who made the assault on the Cincinnati FBI has been shot and killed, identified as Ricky Walter Schiffer, I don't know how it's pronounced, who was also at the Capitol January 6th. Schiffer made posts about taking up arms and killing FBI agents on Truth Social the day Mar-a-Lago was raided. Truth Social gets their moment in the spotlight now. I suspect a statement from Truth Social shortly, if they're even aware of Schiffer as of yet. Viva Frey will probably be getting a visit real soon too. What do we have here? So two law enforcement officials have confirmed to NBC News that Ricky Walter Schiffer, the suspect in the attack on the FBI field office in Cincinnati, is dead. Schiffer was present at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Ricky Schiffer was saying, "I'm having trouble getting information, but Viva Frey said patriots are heading to Palm Beach, where Mar-a-Lago is. I recommend going and being in Florida. I think the feds won't break it up. If they do, kill them." So clearly there was appeal to violence in the case of this guy. Ricky Schiffer, answering to a January 6th related post, said, "I was there. We watched as your goons did that. When I told the ones trying to break back in that Trump tweeted, 'Be peaceful,' one of them said, 'Fuck Trump.'" And on Truth Social, he was saying, "People, this is it. I hope a call to arms comes from someone better qualified, but if not, this is your call to arms from me. Leave work tomorrow as soon as the gun shop / Army Navy store / pawn shop opens. Get whatever you need to be ready for combat. We must not tolerate this one. They have been conditioning us to accept tyranny and think we can't do anything for 2 years. This time we must respond with force. If you know of any protest or attacks, please post here." Someone was asking him, "Are you proposing terrorism?" And he answered, "Very important question. No, I am proposing war. Be ready to kill the enemy. No mass shootings where leftists go. Not lighting buses on fire with transsexuals in them. Not finding people with leftist signs in their yards and beating them up. Violence is not all terrorism. Kill the FBI on site." Okay, so we've read enough. Basically, this guy, who today was shot. He initially attempted to get into the Cincinnati FBI, apparently due to frustration that he was experiencing with relation to the Trump raid. And he went in with a nail gun and an AR-15. Amazingly, decided to use the nail gun instead of the AR-15. It doesn't seem that he has killed anyone. He was wearing a body armor as he was trying to enter past the visitors section at the Cincinnati FBI office. Being unsuccessful at entering, he fled and was able to flee, and eventually he got caught on the road somewhere else, and there was a standoff for a while. And eventually, the FBI agent shot him because he was waving a gun, or pointing it toward them. So that's the story of this guy, Ricky Schiffer. Of course, I'm showing this on Odyssey because on Odyssey we have the right to show content of that kind for the purpose of news reporting. So, of course, I'm not advocating for anything that is said here. I am presenting it so that we get an understanding of the news. So, yeah, this is a guy who probably was way too on tilt, you know. He got moved by this whole Trump coverage of the raid from the FBI. A lot of people on Gab are saying, "Oh, it's a false flag." I mean, I cannot exclude that a guy, just a kind of paranoid guy out there, was accumulating frustration, and that there's so much mediatic coverage around the Trump raid that he decides to act then. You know, there are people who are low threshold. Go away says, "Hope they don't lock up Viva Frey, my boy ain't built for prison." Oh, I think that's an exaggeration by the Gab poster. I don't think Viva Frey is in any danger. Viva Frey is a man who has been covering protests all the time. So, of course, he may have reported the location of protest in this case because there is a lot of Trump fans that are going to Mar-a-Lago to protest the FBI raid. People are reporting buffering. I can see that there's buffering. If you are experiencing buffering, try switching to 480p in the quality of the stream, and hopefully this gets resolved. I have no control here. My internet speed seems good, so it seems to be on the Odyssey side here. Armed men killed after trying to breach FBI's Cincinnati office. Authorities say an hours-long standoff followed, where the man was at one point contained. At one point during the standoff, the suspect, who has not been publicly identified, raised a gun toward the police, said Lieutenant Nathan Dennis of the Ohio Highway Patrol. Law enforcement officers shot and killed him shortly after 3:45 p.m. And the FBI is kind of trying to use the situation to call to peace. Unfounded attacks on the integrity of the FBI erode respect for the rule of law, and a grave disservice to the men and women who sacrifice so much to protect others. Violence and threats against law enforcement, including the FBI, are dangerous and should be deeply concerning to all Americans. Every day I see the men and women of the FBI doing their jobs professionally and with rigor, objectivity, and a fierce commitment to our mission of protecting the American people and upholding the Constitution. I am proud to serve alongside them. Of course, that these words don't mean much when you consider historically what the FBI has been doing, which is be a increasingly becoming an arm of an armed arm of the left. basically, of the rise of the Democrats and combating parents who are trying to locally get involved in school in determining basically school content being shown to kids, attacking patriots who are protesting, showing a double standard in the treatment of those patriots who are protesting for Trump versus a bunch of leftists who can enter the Capitol anytime they want and can block it anytime they want. So the FBI has a history that is developing, which shows its biases. And of course, this raid itself, it's the cherry on the sundae. Pineapple Platypotamus says, Fuentes, Destiny, and Lauren Sutton are live on there and on YouTube. Okay. On Cozy. On Cozy and on YouTube. All right. Well, I do not watch content that involves Nick Fuentes. Garland says he personally approved the Trump search warrant. Attorney General Merrick Garland revealed during a brief Thursday speech that he personally approved the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago and that the DOJ has asked a federal court to unseal the document. So that's the current progress of the story for the Trump raid. The DOJ has asked the judge to unseal the document so that we get to see what was the probable cause. What is the crime of which Donald Trump is suspected of committing that would justify a search? I can't wait to see it. That being said, the DOJ did make one exception. It is if Trump objects, they will not unseal the document. So, will we have an objection of Trump? I mean, it's a tough question. Trump is being put in a tough place here because whenever you have these things, you want transparency to expose the ridicule of the other side. But at the same time, and Trump must understand this as a marketing specialist, false allegations about you are always hurtful. They always taint your reputation. And so Trump must be juggling with, well, if I do not consent, people will accuse me of not wanting to be transparent, and I've been already complaining on the public space about this. So I have to consent to the unsealing. But when I consent to the unsealing, there will be a bunch of criminal claims against me here, for which I will not have been able to defend myself. I will not have had an opportunity to be heard equally. And so CNN is going to run with whatever is in that document and is going to assume that I'm a criminal. And so it's a catch-22 that Trump is currently stuck in. If he has balls, if he has the balls to face the media, little attacks that will be like, oh, you didn't ask for the, you objected to the unsealing and therefore, you know, you're not for transparency. He could have the balls to say, I object to the unsealing because I object to my reputation being dragged in the mud on the basis of a probable cause standard. On the other hand, if he finds that the arguments in this probable cause application by the DOJ for a search, if he finds that the language in it is so ridiculous that exposing it would make the other side look ridiculous, then he might want to unseal. So currently, the ball is in his camp, and he has up to tomorrow at 3 p.m. to decide if he objects, and the judge will order the unsealing of document if he has not received an objection. So they're currently juggling and they're not sure what they will do, according to people who are inside the entourage of Trump. There was a story of a shooter killing four different Muslims at four different times. People were suspecting it was a hateful serial killer targeting Muslims. Actually, we have learned today that, well, maybe yesterday, fear turns to shock among Albuquerque Muslims as police say the shooter is a Muslim. The reason it was all Muslims being targeted was not their race or religion. It was just that it was a bunch of people who had interacted with this guy, and this guy was seeking vengeance against them. So it was not a hate-based crime. Go away, says Jeff. My close friend, female, says that this raid was a political move orchestrated by Trump. She says this because FBI Director Christopher Wray was appointed by Trump. How do I rebut her while still leaving open the possibility that we have sex one day? First, you are approaching the question of sex in the wrong way and friendships in the wrong way. You should not be losing time with a woman who is merely your friend for now, with the hope that maybe someday we can have sex. You should dump this woman if she's not into romantic relationship with you, and stop investing any form of energy, time, or attention on her. Actually, this behavior not only will make you save a lot of time and money and energy, but it's actually the behavior most likely to cause her having sex with you. As for owning her on Trump just before you dump her, I would simply say you are suggesting a multi-person conspiracy in which Trump would have caused his own raid. And you are doing so on the basis of zero evidence. You are worse than the average internet conspiracy theorist, because at least they bring some evidence sometimes to back their point. You are thinking that a network of people have coordinated a raid with an open lie presented in front, and no one in this circle of highly corrupt people would come out and say, hey, you're being a fool here. This was all organized by Trump. Trump doesn't have the luxury of being able to trust circles of people and then trust that his machinations would not get exposed eventually. We've seen it again and again. Parts of the team of Trump dissociating from him and going to the leftist media to get some attention in the anti-Trump media business. So tell her that she is absolutely delusional, and that the reason she makes these constructions is that she fails at being able to conceive of Trump as a victim of anything. And so he has to be a committer of everything, because anytime there's a situation that arises where he would be a victim, she will construct the situation in a different way to ultimately to have her brain not be able to be put in the mood and in the to have to face the fact that Trump may be a victim, and that's because she hates him. And she doesn't even hate him based on her own personal motivation. She's been programmed by the media to do so. Go away, says Jeff. Have you deposited TRP at the Library and Archives Canada as part of the legal deposit program, as is your moral and legal responsibility? I've never heard of this. The library, a legal and moral responsibility. Library and Archives Canada. Well, I mean, I will send them a copy if they will record my book for me. Okay. But I don't know that it's my legal obligation, because I've read about a copyright law before publishing my book, and it was said that registration to these kind of national things are optional, and that they are not needed for demonstrating that one is the author of a given work. So Miami-Dade state attorney called Christian Obenzeli a victim of domestic violence. Miami OnlyFans model captured on video beating boyfriend who she later killed. So here's video evidence. Your typical OnlyFans model just goes into in bras and pajama pants in the elevator outside of her apartment. She beats him, pushes him. He merely wants to use the elevator. He performs some acts of self-defense, but she keeps harassing him. Yes, this is your typical beautiful female, always a little more crazy, especially when they are basically in the business of selling their body on the internet. You have a high chance to have an extremely insane woman. It turns out that 2 months after these events, she killed him. She killed him with a knife hit. Called her mom, hesitated on what she should do. Her mom told her, you have to call the police. But her mom coached her to say to the police that it was in self-defense. But it seems that the self-defense thesis has not sticked very much, and that she can be heard on the 911 call saying, oh my God, he's about to die. And so, yes, some insane woman here, very dangerous. But this guy probably thought he could handle the danger. There's more and more. You know, the knives are more and more well sharpened. Weapons are more and more efficient. So the level of craziness of a woman 100 years ago, with the same level of craziness today, she can do much more damage. Go Away says, another case of interracial domestic violence. What can we do to save our black brothers? The statistics do not necessarily go in. This is a single case. It is not to be taken as a representative of what usually happens. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Tonight is Ask Me Anything. If you would like to send a super chat, use the dollar button under the Odyssey regular chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way of receiving support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. And if you would like to appear on the show, you can join the Discord server. In the description below, you will find a link to my Discord server. If you want to talk on the show, join the waiting room, and you will see my icon just below. Wait in the waiting room, and when I'm ready to slide you in, I will be sliding you in, and we can speak. Make sure you set up your earphones and microphones so that when you join, we're able to start discussing right away. Rack Reacher says, are there any biological processes that make promiscuous women prone to instability? I read about how the contraceptive pill can make them less able to form attachments. Perhaps it's that unstable women are simply more likely to be carousel riders. Yes, there's definitely links. Why these links exist, that's open for hypotheses. But definitely there is hypersexual behavior in borderline personality disorder and in a couple of other disorders that women, psychiatric disorders that women can suffer from. So definitely there's a link. An evolutionary explanation for that, there could be many. You could think that perhaps the craziness is causing the hypersexualization, and perhaps it's a whole strategy. Perhaps the female who has settled for a single male has advantage in not exhausting this male with craziness, and so when she settles, she calms down. But if you have an evolutionary strategy that's based on draining all the energy you can from males so that you rotate across them, Then, if you have multiple partners, you don't benefit that much from not exhausting your male. In fact, perhaps the best way to ensure that the male doesn't go to inseminate other women is to exhaust him to the maximum when he's with you. So the drainage of energy of the male may be an evolutionary explanation here, where if you are not on the cock carousel, you want to take care of your monogamous male husband because the energy that he's got to work on the farm, to work on his job, directly benefits you. Whereas the polygamous model, the energy that he got and the money that he makes will not necessarily be yours. He may be investing it on another female. There's also just the theory of beautiful women are crazy because they can afford it, basically. And this theory would go as follows. Most women have some sort of craziness, but the most ugly ones will be able to contain it and have to do so to even reach the point where they are interesting for a male. Whereas a 10 out of 10 Instagram, what is it? A OnlyFans model, she can afford unleashing a little more craziness and she will still be interesting to a male simply because she's a 10 out of 10. Blah says, "Hi JF, life has survived the CO2-based climate change in the Permian Triassic extinction event. Snails even survived it, and fish. So humans with technology have nothing to worry about." That's a strong statement. You are definitely correct that life has survived massive changes of CO2 concentration in the air before. But you know the dinosaurs were all extinct except small birds. Basically, the mass the there was a lifestyle of being a massive reptile, and this disappeared completely from the earth. The problem is, we don't know, but perhaps the lifestyle of being a fat mammal is not, and a tall one is not something that may survive the next extinction event. So you have to be careful. It's not necessarily certain that humans will make it through any future climate change event. I wouldn't be as convinced as you are. Now, that's not to say that we have to be alarmist about the current climate or the upcoming climate. I personally am not alarmist. And don't forget also that technology has some defects, like, okay, we have AC, sure, and that will allow us to survive. But what will be the consequences of AC on the viability of the Earth as a whole? We'll all be evacuating heat outside of our homes. Will we have even more dramatic consequences over planet Earth because we consume so much electricity? Maybe. Shelburne says, "Lol, JF, it is hard being a mature woman in these manospheres, but it is interesting." I'm not sure what you mean in these manosphere. Do you mean that the OnlyFans is a manosphere? Normally, when we say manosphere, we speak specifically about the public intellectuals who are speaking for men's rights and dating aspects of female dating. They're coming for us, lads. Buckle up. Multiple federal LE sources are telling me that a message was blasted to all federal LE agencies to start cataloging social media posts of non-conservative influencers so they can be threat assessed. They're coming for the First Amendment and anyone who opposes the regime. This kind of strategy will only catch those people who are not careful enough, who are reckless in their use of language on social media. Of course, it's going to lead to a lot of attention being given to something that doesn't deserve attention. There is not a widespread right-wing violence problem. I'm sorry, leftist. Go away, says Jeff. All of our infrastructure will crumble if climate change happens and sea levels rise. There will be cities under the water. Humans can survive, but what will our quality of life be? On that note, why did Obama buy his Martha Vineyards mansion right next to the sea? What was he thinking? Go away is trolling here with a regular talking point that I often hear, which is if people truly believe that there will be a rise of the sea, how can they buy property on the beach? It's an interesting point. Interesting point. I mean, you could argue that the seas will rise, but not by enough to flood these residences. So I don't think it's a total own. Like, I see these boomers posting this meme all the time, and I'm like, okay, boomer, you have a somewhat of a point, but it's just not as good as you think it is. The Bias News reports on Gab, Lara Trump casts doubt on speculation that there is an informant at Mar-a-Lago assisting the DOJ. Maybe that's a bit of hearsay. There is no one of concern or even to consider. And people were pointing out, wouldn't that be Jared Kushner? Who was the informant? I don't know if there was an informant, but it will know if they can release the probable cause hearing content and the complaint or whatever it's called, the application. We will know then, was this all based on an anonymous source working for the FBI? That might allow Trump to roughly know who that could be. Aij Security says, did Tim Ball not convince you that all these climate concerns were contrived, politically motivated nonsense? Well, there is climate concerns, but there is climate change. So what Tim Ball made a beautiful case for is that in the past of the Earth, there used to be massively more CO2 in the atmosphere, and the Earth was massively more hot than it is now. Now, that is not to say that a rise of CO2 and heat on planet Earth will not cause anything, because 500 million years ago, when there was this period of extremely high CO2 and high heat, there wasn't dinosaurs then. There wasn't even humans or even small mammals. 500 million years ago, there were only the invertebrates from the animal class, the animal families. So you didn't have yet amphibians, probably, and you certainly didn't have mammals and birds. So returning to this world of high CO2 and high heat, I'm not necessarily worried, but that doesn't mean we have to be careless about it and think that nothing will happen. If you raise the temperature by 12 degrees Celsius across the planet, which is what it was back then, so right now the average temperature is around 12 degrees Celsius over planet Earth, and back then it was over 24 degrees Celsius. So a difference of about 12. And in terms of CO2 concentration, the CO2 concentration back then, 500 million years ago, was orders like an order or two of magnitude above the current one. It was very high, very, very high, even more than the current CO2 concentration. So, will mammals survive returning to this world, which is the perfect world for plants, by the way? I have no fear that my garden will survive. The question is, will I be there to tend for my garden? That remains an open question. Happy says, do you think it's silly to doubt the dinosaurs' existence just based on not trusting big science? No, I don't think that any rejection of scientific arguments is valid when it is simply, oh, science is always wrong, therefore they're wrong there. I think you have to be much more distinctive and specific. I am all for rejecting big science, but that doesn't save you from having a minimum threshold of demonstration. First, you need to explain how this data arises. For example, in the COVID case, I'm all for contesting big science on the COVID case. But when you get to the data of COVID and the vaccine, you get into, well, this data is produced by people who highly benefit from there being a problem with COVID. This data is coming from people who highly benefit economically from the vaccines working and being a political solution. So already you are entering, okay, this data may have been fabricated. The idea that there is such an intense pressure for fabrication in the domain of merely of archaeology basically is laughable. Archaeology interests basically no one. Until Jurassic Park came as a movie and they had their time in the limelight, but it was a short one. So I don't think that there's massive evidence for someone to fabricate the bones of a dinosaur. Secondly, the anatomical feature of these dinosaurs' bone, are extremely precise. When you get to why is a bird a dinosaur, it boils down to a specific hole that they have in their cranium, and that makes them diapsid. It makes them have two holes in the cranium where you have only one, and it's on the temporal part here. I think it's the little hole if I remember, but don't quote me on this. But it's your the hole where your jaw is attached to the top of your head. There's a muscle that has to pass, and it may pass through this hole if I remember correctly in mammals. The diapsid have two holes. And that's a feature that we see on dinosaur bones, and we see it on bird bones. Now, to claim that dinosaurs are made up, really made up, you have to think that the intern who was dusting off the bone actually drilled a fake hole in the freaking cranium. And that would leave traces. That's not realistic. Like, it would have faked a diapsid. And it doesn't work when you consider that all dinosaur bones ever found are diapsid. So it just doesn't work. Like, you would have to have a massive international fraud here going on. I don't buy it. And on top of it, we still have reptiles today, and we have birds. And there is kind of a missing link between the two. And dinosaurs fit perfectly right there. Dinosaurs were kind of reptile-like, and they gave birth to kind of bird-like. So no, I am never for the argument, well, it comes from big science, therefore it's wrong. No, I think that big science can be challenged on many points, and it should be challenged. But you have to have a better theory, or you have to explain how this pyramid of fake facts come to be established. Lackshed says, "Hey Jeff, would you categorize meerkats as communist or nationalist?" I don't know about the genetic clustering of meerkats and how their little gangs are probably highly genetically resembling each other. So probably I would classify them as nationalist. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, how far removed from an AI directly selecting human genes would you consider a replication tango still taking place? For example, would an AI simply aiding some subsets of humans to reproduce rather than others, be considered a replicator tango? Absolutely. Just one human doing it, that's the beginning of the tango. Now, the only question to resolve then is, will this tango outcompete everything else? And my claim is that it might very well. If it does any sort of a good job, it will. It will. So a tango doesn't win by convincing humans to use it. A tango wins by taking any humans that do use it and then outbreeding the other humans. That's how an evolutionary race is won and eventually leads to a phenotypic revolution. Questions grow about Trump raid after revelation of grand jury subpoena, extensive cooperation. So Trump is describing more and more on it, among other places on his Truth Social, how he has been fully cooperating with the FBI, so it came as a surprise for him to see that the FBI had decided to do a surprise raid. Because he says, my attorneys and representatives were cooperating fully and very good relationships had been established. The government could have had whatever they wanted if we had it. They asked us to put an additional lock on a certain area. Done. Everything was fine, better than that of most previous presidents. And then, out of nowhere, with no warning, Mar-a-Lago was raided at 6:30 in the morning by very large numbers of agents and even safe crackers. I don't know what that is. They got way ahead of themselves. Crazy. And so he was fully cooperating according to his story. And so it's surprising that the FBI wouldn't use that cooperation. Were they trying to get him and claim that he's committed a crime? Maybe it has to be this. You don't invoke a search and seizure if you don't have probable cause. Daily Wire, Fauci booed as he walks out to give first pitch at the Seattle Mariners game. Okay, there are some people who boo. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, if that's the case, then isn't the Tinder software already involved with a replicator tango with us? Doubting Thomas, it's time for you to read The Revolutionary Phenotype because I already addressed all of this in The Revolutionary Phenotype. Now, to give you the answer, in chapter 9, I described that there's a difference between printing and selection. So, a printer is something that can add mutations to DNA or rewrite letters in whatever ways it wants. A selector is something that can choose a DNA that already exists and leads that thing to reproduce or to not reproduce. That's a selector. Now, the Tinder software is a selector. The Tinder software will not introduce a printed letter of DNA, will not say, all right, I'm taking your gene for your brain and I'm making an amendment to it. And because the Tinder software is only a selector, it cannot do anything else than favor evolution continuing to apply to humans. It can merely help drive evolution maybe in a different direction. But ultimately, it's bound by the laws of the selfish gene, which is if people who are on Tinder end up making babies, they will survive and Tinder will survive. But if they don't make babies when they go on Tinder, then Tinder will disappear and the people who were fooled by it will also disappear. So there's a difference between selecting and printing, and you have to read chapter 9 to understand how important that is. Appy says, can you do a comic book version for your more challenged viewer? Maybe one day. Maybe one day there will be an anime of the revolutionary phenotype, but I'm not there yet. Beach umbrellas blown into the ocean as severe water weather hits coastal Delaware. Apparently, a woman has been killed by a beach umbrella. We don't have the video, but she was impaled by a beach umbrella that went into the wind and then fell back, killed her. Again, do not go to the beach. You can die at the beach. That's why I say to Mama JF, the least possible we go to the beach, the least possible we go to these roller coaster family entertainment kind of crap. People die there. It's better to stay home and enjoy a safe interaction with the internet. ABC guest blames FBI raid anger on neo-Nazis because Merrick Garland is Jewish.
To a judge this week. That's why I personally don't think, based on my knowing this attorney general and our covering of him, that he's somebody who would have allowed this to happen in a rash way, because he had to know that as soon as this happened, it would supercharge a supercharged environment. And in fact, that's what we saw. As soon as President Trump put out confirmation on Monday that the raid had been done and was underway, we immediately started seeing factions on the far right, neo-Nazis.
Fascists on the far right, neo-Nazis are the people complaining about the Trump raid.
White supremacist militia organizers calling for violence as they always have done.
White supremacists, militia organizers. Oh my God, they are trying to ride on this the same way they rode on January 6th. It's a small thing. That's why I did a show called Ma Trump Raid. Because yeah, it's an illustration of the state gone awry, but it's like the 1 millionth illustration. It's not like we learn anything here. The Kekule problem, where did language come from? Someone was asking me on Discord, JF, have you addressed the language question? This article is crap. Because they asked, did language meet some need? No. The other 5,000 plus mammals among us do fine without it. That is not. It's like. Let's take a feature of the squirrel. I don't know. The squirrel has the ability to put a lot of nuts in his mouth pocket. He can carry a lot of nuts in his mouth. Did carrying lots of nuts in his mouth play meet some need? No, because the other 5,000 plus mammal cannot put as much nuts in their mouth. It is not because a feature is unique to a species that it didn't address some need. That's absolutely ridiculous. The humans may have needed language where other species didn't need it. And that would be because humans were faced with a special kind of environment. So to me, language, there's no mystery about why it can evolve. And I address this in the moral signal, which I still not advanced on, but I do address a lot of this book is about ultimately the evolution of language. So there's no mystery. Language has to evolve when knowledge can be transferred and be advantageous from a sender to a receiver. And the reason it would be advantageous to do so would probably be in the case of humans, that the environment was in a cascade of change constantly. First, because there was the social world, which can itself change a lot. When do you want to be at peace? When do you want to make a revolution? When do you want to make war? And also because of migration, the environments and the ways of survival of humans were put to test. The ability of human to adapt quickly was put to a test that probably most other animals never get to pass. So a squirrel, spreads and keeps living the squirrel way in whatever environment he will invade. The same is true of many apes and many mammals of all kind. They basically continue their niche, and they just exploit an environment that is very resemblant. Whereas humans spread from being extremely thin in some places of Earth to being extremely fat in other places of Earth. In some places, their main concern is finding potable water. In others, it's how to hunt a seal. Humans have been faced with extremely changing environment and have adapted to all of them, which is probably why language was needed to transmit the knowledge for survival and social survival from the father and mother to the children. And genetic evolution was probably just too slow to do that well, and so genetic evolution created malleability, created the ability of, let's take my brain and copy it into your brain, so that what I've learned in my life, you can now benefit from it. If you are exploiting a very specific niche, like squirrels finding nuts, you don't really need that. You may need some degree of parental care, but the things that you will have learned in your life can be relearned in their own ways by your children. Whereas with humans, you cannot relearn to design a weapon from scratch. It's much better to have your father show you how to design a weapon if he has the trick for it. But JF can fit more nuts in his mouth than a squirrel. Yes, but I was talking in relative way, I can certainly fit more nuts in my mouth than a squirrel, but relative to my weight, it's going to be a very poor performance with respect to the squirrel. The squirrel might very well be able to carry his own weight in nuts. I'm not able to carry my own weight in nuts in my mouth. If anyone is still wearing a mask out there, they are an idiot cult member. Of course, we all knew this from the beginning, didn't we? New COVID-19 guidance from CDC focuses on individual decisions. That's NPR report on August 11, that's today. They say those exposed to the virus are no longer required to quarantine. Unvaccinated people now have the same guidance as vaccinated people. Students can stay in class after being exposed to the virus, and it's no longer recommended to screen those without symptoms. But what has changed? Aren't you sending grandmas to their death by doing so? What has changed? Has there been any scientific evidence that we didn't have a year ago that leads to these decisions? Or is it just a social change? And is the CDC admitting that ultimately they're just responding to the social mood? Because if you thought you were saving lives a year ago with these measures, then why aren't you saving lives today? I'm not demanding for the return of COVID shutdowns and everything, but my point is, why did we do it a year ago? If these guidelines make sense today, they should have made sense a year ago. People are talking about yawning. Yeah, I've actually been when I left academia, I was actually just on the point of starting a project around monkey yawning. And I had hours of videos of monkeys and they were yawning. I was putting one against another. I was putting a dominant monkey with a subordinate monkey. And I was looking at when do they yawn? And I had started to detect some stuff. I don't remember what was the early evidence saying, but I knew that there was a strong relationship with dominance. I think that dominant monkeys tended to yawn liberally in front of subordinate monkeys, and subordinate monkeys were just looking away. And I had the theory that perhaps the yawn is a display of a display of the internal mood, or maybe a display of the teeth. Like, because a yawn ultimately shows the teeth, and in monkeys, teeth are very dangerous weapons. So perhaps when you yawn, you're signaling to the other around you, I'm so relaxed, I'm so not nervous of having you around. I know that I dominate you, I know that you're not scaring me, so I can afford yawning for a moment. Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum now proposes to automate censorship of hate speech and disinformation with AI fed by subject matter experts. Intelligence collected from millions of sources gets put into training sets, and AI finds the edge of hate speech. And then subject matter experts give their input to the AI to improve its decision, which leads to content removals, warning, labeling, or other action. Isn't that beautiful? In the end, none of this matters. In the end, you've given power to control speech on the internet to a bunch of sociologists. Yeah, I hope that the Economic Forum doesn't get their way. What I see as a trend happening more and more on the internet is very sad. It's that they will just make heavy content moderation on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook, and then we'll have our parallel platforms where, like Odyssey and Gab, where, well, on Gab at least, there's close to zero content moderation, and on Odyssey there is some, but it's much more liberal. It's sad because it creates two internet, and it's sad not so much for me because I have the luxury of being able to enjoy my free speech here, but it's sad for the normies that we left behind. Because there was a time on the internet where we were bringing them along with us. We were taking them by the hand to show them the mysterious world of the red pill and the black pill. And in a way, we had to leave them behind because they can't be helped. They will stick to Twitter. They will stick to YouTube. Very sad about this because it's not so much the free speech, it's their freedom of hearing us that has been lost. Bitcoin critic Peter Schiff liquidating his Euro Pacific Bank in Puerto Rico, returning 100% of deposits. He will return 66 million to his bank depositors. People were laughing their ass off because what he's trying to do, basically, he's trying to make a bank where people make deposits and he wants to buy gold for them and stuff, make their money fructify in some way. But he's been so harassed for trying to evade taxes and that kind of stuff. He's been so harassed by the government that now he's forced to return the money. And for someone who's been complaining so much about Bitcoin, you would think that it might have gone otherwise if his bank was a Bitcoin bank. He could have traveled anywhere he wanted, and those Bitcoins would be international. They wouldn't be bound to a country. And he could have argued that they are held in some other country and be left unmolested by the IRS and other entities. So perhaps Peter Schiff will come to enjoy and appreciate the value of Bitcoin. And our last news item for tonight, DK Shadow says, "Not your bank, not your gold." That is a good play on the saying, "Not your keys, not your coins, not your bank, not your gold." Yeah, and ultimately, these banks are so at the they exist only if they're left alone by judges and by the politicians. So in the end, if these banks start doing anything that the government disagrees with, suddenly they're the bank of the government. Can't take down 45. That will be our last news item. Trump fans continue to gather outside Mar-a-Lago. So apparently there's a big party outside of Mar-a-Lago in support for Trump against the Trump raid. Lots of patriots with various flags. Interesting to see that this may be what launches basically the Trump run. And I see that Trump is gathering more and more retweets, retruths on his Truth Social. You see Truth Social sometimes, 7,000 likes, but sometimes 50,000 likes, 15,000 retweets. It's starting to look like Trump is rebuilding his following on Truth Social. Who knows where that will lead, especially with Elon Musk perhaps being forced to buy Twitter. It's going to be interesting to see all of this develop. But that is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.